Oh, this next story makes my blood boil. As a musician, I'm particularly offended by the practices that we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk to Adam Webb from Fanfare Alliance about industrial-scale online ticket touting, which is a very big black mark on the UK's live music scene, ripping off fans and causing significant harm to British artists and music business in itself. Let's talk to Adam about this and try and unravel it all. Good morning, Adam. Thank you for joining us.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good, sir. Yeah, this makes my blood boil, this, as someone who's been a musician all my life. For those who are not aware what we're going on about here, let's first of all talk about you, the Fanfare Alliance. What is it?
Okay, so Fanfare Alliance is a sort of a music business campaign, I guess. We were launched in July 2016, so quite recent. Mm. And I mean, essentially, we've been sort of bringing together a coalition of the willing, I guess.
Yeah.
Lots of very prominent sort of artist managers, so representing artists like Mumford and Sons and Arctic Monkeys and Ed Sheeran, right through to agents, ticketing companies, promoters. And really trying to sort of build some momentum in the UK to try and do something about this issue, which has been a bit of a blight on our live music industry for more than a decade now, I think, particularly the sort of online ticket touting.
Yeah.
And the aim really is to do two things, I think. One is to try and clean up this market, because I think there's a sort of a mutual understanding that it's now got way out of control. And the second, which I think is probably the more exciting thing, is to try and establish a more consumer-friendly, ethical resale market. Mm. I think everyone could appreciate that, you know, people, you know, they might buy a ticket to an event that's happening in, you know, 12 months time. If they genuinely can't make it, you know, they need somewhere to be able to resell their ticket. So that's the kind of market we want to establish, not this sort of rip-off market, which is, you know, obviously epitomized probably by Viagogo, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the scale of it is extraordinary. I remember in the old days, I mean, we all moan about, you know, how things have changed, but in the old days, yeah, you used to see ticket touts hanging around outside concerts, and, you know, you'd offer the tickets for the evening if you hadn't got one, you know, for a few extra quid on top of the ticket price. But this is on a whole other scale. This is effectively when tickets go on sale for a concert, and these ticket touts will buy online huge wadges of the tickets, therefore leaving none left for the actual fans to buy, and then use these secondary ticket sites to sell them a massive profit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite a complicated picture in some ways, because, you know, I mean, effectively what we've got is we've got four big so-called secondary ticketing platforms. We've got one, Viagogo, which is registered in Switzerland. It's got quite a sort of opaque structures, and it's owned mainly by private investors. Uh-huh. We've got StubHub, which is owned by eBay, and then we've got two sites which are owned by Ticketmaster, which is obviously the biggest primary ticketing seller.
Right.
So fundamentally, the business models are all very similar in that the platforms provide a way to resell a ticket. But in reality, we can see, or certainly evidence suggests, that a bulk of the action going on those platforms is actually dedicated third-party ticket sellers.
Yeah.
The complications, I think, come with a number of things, but the ownership is definitely one of them. Again, like I say, Viagogo, because of the way it's structured, because it's quite a difficult company to for regulators and politicians to deal with, that brings its own set of problems. And anyone who's found themselves ripped off Viagogo will tell you how difficult it is to actually get in contact with somebody working there.
Mm.
But again, there's different complications, I think, with companies like StubHub, like Get Me In and Seatwave, who also have a foot in the music industry as well. And again, that's something that I think we're trying to work through as well.
I don't think anybody has got a problem with somebody setting up a company that makes money. That's what people do. But, you know, when they're charging up to 13, 14 times the price for tickets that people are trying to go and see a concert for, it's just a world of pain. And you're not even guaranteed that, having paid that extortionate price, that your ticket is even valid.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the most frustrating things for me, having been sort of immersed in this market now for a good 18 months, is that actually most shows do not sell out. You know, most shows, there are face value tickets available. If they're not, you know, again, what you'll find is that the secondary ticketing sites will certainly dominate Google, and there will be a sort of a an illusion that the tickets have sold out and that they will be the place to go and get them. But, you know, again, that's one of the things we've been trying to do as well, is trying to get people to be a bit more savvy about how they buy tickets. You know, certainly don't to not to panic buy. And again, you know, if tickets have, you know, have, if there aren't any available on the authorized primary ticket sellers, you know, after a show's gone on sale, usually it just pays to wait, because, you know, there may be another date announced. You know, almost always there'll be people who actually can't go. And again, they're frequently now using, you know, resale sites which are promoting face value resale as well.
And it's the method in which they're sold as well, isn't it, Adam? Because, you know, you'll go onto a site like Viagogo and they will pressurize people into believing that the ticket they're about to buy is now becoming a rare commodity, and there are loads of other people after that particular ticket. If you don't buy it in the next X minutes, then you won't get it.
Yeah. In terms of Viagogo in particular, but sort of wider in this whole sector. So there's a number of things going on in the UK. We've got a bunch of new laws coming into that are about to be activated, and some consumer legislation which is about to be bolstered and hopefully enforced. Because again, I think that this market definitely needs a little bit of enforcement to clear it up. Mm. We've also got the Competition and Markets Authority, who've been looking at the market for about 16 or 17 months now. Again, they've promised enforcement action if certain of these platforms don't start to obey the law. Mm. And again, they are now looking into new areas as well, particularly things like pressure selling, the way that tickets are presented. We've just had an Advertising Standards Authority ruling, particularly about Viagogo and the way that they present their pricing. And again, I think it's, you know, I don't think we're going to get to a place where some people want to be that, you know, we've got a law that says you can only resell at face value. But I do think these sort of little incremental advances, they are going to disrupt the way that these sites operate. Mm-hmm. And again, our aim really is to try and, you know, promote the more ethical secondary market.
They seem a bit slippery, though, don't they, Viagogo in particular? I mean, last March, they were summoned to appear before the Commons Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee as part of an investigation into this very thing, but just didn't bother turning up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down to the Viagogo offices in London, and, you know, you go there, there's no sign saying it's Viagogo on the wall. You'll speak to the receptionist and say, is Viagogo here? And they'll say no and deny it. And then, you know, you may look over the desk like I did and actually see an email printed out with the email with the Viagogo logo on it. And after, you know, about half an hour of to and fro, finally they reveal, yes, they are here. And again, they are very adept, I think, about skirting around slight grey areas in legislation or where legislation isn't enforced. And, you know, I think the Select Committee probably epitomised that to some degree as well, in that, you know, when a Select Committee calls someone to evidence, you know, they usually turn up, but there's nothing compelling you to. And, you know, quite brazenly, they decided they weren't going to turn up. I mean, there's actually going to be another Select Committee inquiry coming up in the next few months. And again, obviously, we're all hoping that, that, you know, they will get called again and hopefully, you know, give an account of themselves.
What can us, the public, do to help this? And how can we prevent ourselves from being ripped off? I mean, most people, when they want a ticket, they'll stick it in Google now, won't they? They'll put it in Google and up will come Viagogo at the top, which is false in itself, because that implies that they are a primary ticket seller and not the secondary ticket seller, although Google allegedly have a certificate system which says that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
What can we do to help ourselves, Adam?
Well, two things probably. What one is, we've got a guide on our site giving sort of people 10 tips about buying tickets, which seems a bit ludicrous in some ways, but I do think that it's, you know, the whole sort of ticketing purchasing system has got so complicated now. I think it's definitely worth people reading. And again, yeah, there's some advice, you know, like, you know, make sure that you look at, you know, who the authorized ticket sellers are. You know, certainly for most shows in the UK, you will find that there's 2, 3, 4, 5 authorized ticket sellers. You know, there's not one. And again, you know, this can be problematic when it's Ticketmaster. And what will happen is, if their allocation sells out, if they're then encouraging people to go to their secondary site, then people may find themselves there buying a ticket from a third party seller. Whereas, you know, there may be other primary ticket sellers who've still got face value tickets available. So that's one thing, is to do your research. Definitely don't panic buy. So again, if the shutters come down, it says it's sold out, you know, obviously the likes of Viagogo, StubHub, etc., that's the time when I think they make most of their business, because people instantly go onto those sites because they want to get a ticket. So, you know, just wait, see if there's extra dates announced, see if, you know, people are going to resell at face value closer to the time. And then if anyone thinks they've been misled, and again, particularly on Viagogo, we've actually been working with a lady called Claire Turnham, who actually appeared at the Select Committee last year, who's got a Facebook campaign called Victim of Viagogo. And with working with her, we've actually come up with some sort of step-by-step guidance, just helping people to try and get a charge back and a refund from their bank. And again, you know, it's quite clear to us that on nearly all occasions, Viagogo will be breaching consumer law in terms of how they list the tickets. But we now have this ASA ruling as well, which on misleading pricing. So I think if people can have enough evidence there, show that they've contacted Viagogo in the first place, usually a bit of a fruitless exercise, but just to say they've done it, gather their evidence, and then go back to their bank and payment provider and say, look, we think the law's being broken. Here's the ASA ruling. Here's some examples in the media of what's going on here. Can I get a charge back? And actually, that's proving to be reasonably successful. It's quite an arduous task, but you know, there's about £200,000 that's already been refunded using that guidance. So it does work. It's just you know, it takes time for the sort of the chargeback process to go through. So that's the two things I'd recommend that people do.
It is odd, isn't it, that if you imagine this in another industry, let's suppose you booked an airline ticket for 18 quid, you know, and when it got to the actual checkout, it turned into a £240 ticket for the exact same ticket for nothing extra. There'd be an absolute outcry, wouldn't there?
Yeah. I think, you know, particularly, like I say, there's different challenges with the different sites. But I think with Viagogo in particular, you know, it makes... You know, you're talking about a site which makes absolutely no investment in culture, in art, in promoting events. You know, it's literally a parasitical platform.
Yeah.
You know, with again, there's no transparency. We do not know who the sellers are. And it's really just extracting money. And, you know, the service fees are eye-watering. I don't think there's anything that can justify, you know, a 30% service charge on a ticket which is already being resold for well above face value. And like you say, there is no guarantee. I mean, this was part of the ASA ruling. There is no guarantee when you get a ticket on there, because Viagogo do not... they do not believe really in terms and conditions. So if the original event organizer says, here are the terms and conditions that you need to get in, I mean, by law, a secondary platform has to, common sense has to provide those as well. Viagogo refused to do that. So again, you're finding people who are buying tickets, you know, where you might need your ID or your name's printed on the ticket. You know, they're turning up to shows. I mean, we've seen this with the Harry Potter theatre show in the UK. And, you know, they're getting to the door and they're not being allowed in. So again, it's you know, that, I mean, that in itself is harmful. Obviously, that then, you know, creates a situation for the event organizer. Obviously, they, you know, they want to enforce their terms and conditions, but obviously they don't want genuine fans being left outside either. So it's you know, it does create a dilemma, I think, for everybody. And you know, and again, until we've got some enforcement here, you know, it's something where Viagogo can, you know, run quite a profitable business.
And it's sad for the actual artists, isn't it? Because, you know, the public are maybe not as well informed on this as they might be, and they will start blaming, you know, oh, how dare they charge X pounds for a ticket to go and see them.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of that, and I think, you know, in some ways it can be quite positive, because I think that there is, you know, again, one of the things we're doing is working with, you know, people in the music industry. I mean, Ed Sheeran's a good example. Is it's trying to find this balance between some enforceable terms and conditions on your ticket. So, you know, it's your party, you define what the rules of the house are. But also, you know, again, if you're putting some restrictions on the transferal of a ticket, then having that you know, having that mechanism where if you genuinely can't go, you can resell, and actually the easier the better, and you can resell, that's a good thing. And I think that's hopefully where we're going to sort of get to, in that those, you know, again, those artists that really want to make a stand about this, they can, you know, they can put these T's and C's in, make it very clear, communicate it clearly. And again, if people genuinely can't go, there's always going to be a certain percentage you can't make it. They have got somewhere to resell at the price they paid, get the money back, and somebody who wants to go can get a ticket.
Very interesting. If people want to come and find your website, where can they find it, Adam?
Okay, so it's fanfarealliance.org, and like I say, there's the guidance on there, there's the ticket buying guidance, and there's also, if you look through the news section, you'll also find the guidance if you think you've been misled via a secondary ticketing site. Again, like I say, it's very much self-help guidance, but hopefully the tips in there are quite useful. And I definitely think that the ASA ruling is particularly useful because it's, again, it's clearly something that Viagogo are not abiding by. So they haven't changed their practices yet. So if you think you've been misled on the price, which is a very, very common common complaint, you know, there is something there you can go to, tell your bank about it.
Well, let's just leave it with a quote from the founder of Viagogo, Eric Baker, who said, quote, he was on the side of the customer and we are helping to get rid of the street touts and the people selling fraudulently, and that is a good thing. He also then said to his colleagues and employees, let's go make $1 billion. Not far off it, is he? Adam, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today and keep up the good work, as they say.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate
it. All righty. Cheers. Bye-bye.